It's always a tough time of day. I've got full stomachs. Time for us to put our heads down and nap. We'll have to pray that the Lord will give us something special here. Just to relay what I had in my heart, I was thinking of the last hymn that we sang, 301, was it? Just a comment there that lends itself to what I have before me in 301. And that's the second verse. It says, "It is not for us to be seeking our bliss and building our hopes in a region like this. We look for a city which hands have not piled." I was contemplating that a little bit because we know the reference is Hebrews 11. And it's just a little bit different here, but it really lends itself to the thought. I've often wondered about Abraham looking for a city that had foundations. We can understand the concept of a building like this having a foundation, a house having a foundation, but the thought of a city. And so it's interesting here. It says, we look for a city which hands have not piled. We pant for a country by sin undefiled. Let's look at a verse just before we pray, just before we sing, rather, in James. The book of James. James, the second chapter. James chapter 2 and verse 21, we read, "Was not Abraham our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" 23, "The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he was called the friend of God." Well, I have in my heart this afternoon to look at a few thoughts in connection with Abraham. It's a large subject, and the subject can be looked at in different ways, but we'll zero in on a particular part of his life and trust that it would be for real profit for each of our hearts. Well, maybe we could open by singing, and I might mention that there are two hymns in our little flock hymn book that mention Abraham. And the first one that we'll sing is the 160th hymn, where in the fourth verse we read, "His call we obey, like Abram of old, not knowing our way, but faith makes us bold. For though we are strangers, we have a sure guide, and trust in all dangers the Lord will provide." So maybe we could sing number 160. Though troubles assail
and dangers arise,
but cannot be lost.
for his help. I was at a wedding a little while ago, and I sat down with our sister Gorgas, Dick's widow, and we were visiting together, and I said to her, I said, you know, I hear comments here and there, and I feel like I missed something by never meeting your dad, who was Guilford Christensen. I never met him. I'm sure there are those here that have. I'm sure our sister Leah would have known him very well. Usually the comments that are made are in connection with something he shared with an older brother. And he said, oh, you know, and they would say, well, you know, I got this from my brother Guilford. And I always felt like I missed something by not meeting Guilford. And as we were visiting together, she said, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I was out west, and a brother came to me and said, you know, I remember when your dad came through, it was actually Aberdeen, Idaho, and with you children, they were all small, and after the breaking of bread, he stood up after the breaking of bread, and he shared a little meditation. And the brother from Aberdeen said to our sister, you know, I always remember it, and although it was 50-some years ago, he looked at the three looks of Abraham, and it really touched my heart. Well, it tweaked my interest to go home, and looked at those three looks of Abraham, which I did, and found out there are seven looks of Abraham. And I'd like to look at them this afternoon. As I say, Abraham's subject is a large subject, but if we could zero in on the looks of Abraham, it would perhaps keep myself and everyone here focused as to what the Lord would have for us. So let's just ask the Lord for his help before we open up this precious word. So let's turn to the book of Genesis, and we'll pick up on the first time we have this expression that Abraham looked. It's in the 13th chapter. Genesis chapter 13. And it's found in the 14th verse. The circumstances that surround this first mention of Abraham's look are rather sad circumstances. Because Abram and Lot have just parted company. It's always been a sad thing to me to consider Abram and Lot, because they traveled so many miles together, they went through so many experiences together, and they were together through it all. And they came to this one place in their lives that they were not able to stay together. It seems that their friendship could withstand almost everything, but it could not stand the test of prosperity. It withstood everything else. It withstood famine. They went down to Egypt. It withstood that long trek from Ur of the Chaldees, where they left everything. Just in the previous chapters here, just go through all that that Abram and Lot's friendship withstood. And now we come to this portion, and the test of prosperity blew them apart. Isn't that sad? It's sad. Well, let's pick up now. I'm sure Abraham was feeling this. And we read in the 14th verse. Well, let's go back. The 12th verse, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent, and came, and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So here we have that first mention, as I said, of the subject that's before us, where the Lord says to Abram, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. I was touched, you know, when Brother Randy was praying for the food there this morning, just at the end of our meeting. He just made the comment and just beseeching the Lord that we would have our eyes not looking around us, but we would have our eyes looking upward. Well, that's what the Lord told Abram to do here, isn't it? In the 14th verse, the Lord said unto Abram after the Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes. Lift up now thine eyes. It's so easy, isn't it, to be distracted by what's around us? It's so easy to be distracted by the things that come into our pathway. You know, we were sitting in our family reading just a week ago. And our family reading is early in the morning. We all come and go at different times, and the time that suits us is 6 o'clock, to the chagrin of those who have to leave a little bit later, but there are those of us who have to leave earlier. Anyway, we're sitting there, and you know, Dad's supposed to be on top of things and supposed to have everything in full control. And he doesn't realize how heavily he relies on the comments of these younger ones. But we're sitting there, and I had a bad few days at work, and some things that the Lord had dished up to me that I wasn't really thankful for, that I should have been. And out of the blue, one of my daughters says, we really need to have our eyes not on the circumstances that we have before us, but we need to have our eyes on the hand that dishes them out. I was so thankful for that, for my own soul. As I say, you know, as Dad, he's supposed to be in control here. And I'm just so thankful to have a comment like that. And I just appreciated that, Randy, when you're praying, it just fits in with how so often it's so easy for us to get taken up with whatever's on our plate, and it's diversified. We all have different circumstances. We live in a busy life. We live in a country that's a driven people. Doesn't matter what we're driven about. It's every time we leave the house, we're driven about something. It's the way it is. And because of that, it's busy. And because of that, so often the Lord gets squeezed out. But isn't it marvelous that we can take a time like this where Abram, he's perhaps feeling down about having been with Lot all these years, and now they're separated, and he's just kind of contemplating that, and the Lord comes along and says, Abram, you need to lift your eyes up. You need to have your gaze above this scene. And we're going to see as we look at some of the others, we find the same wording. Not all of them, because we're going to find 5 of them here in Genesis and 2 of them in the New Testament, where we have that expression. Well, here we find that he's told to look northward, southward, eastward, westward. And he's told to look at the land. And it was to be his. The land on which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Well, you know, the Lord has given us so much. And we need to enjoy it, as Abram was told to do. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it. Those of you who knew Mr. Berry, who, of course, came here so often, he used to quote us young boys, or misquote us, rather, the verse from Joshua. He used to say, every place that the Thank you.
How so? Sole of your foot.
There he places the sole of your foot. He's quoted this way, shall tread upon, that shall I give you. That's the way he used to quote it. And he'd ask us, he'd say, what's wrong with that? Well, he used to say, you know, we didn't know what was wrong with it. He said, well, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon and say, that have I given you, it's already yours. It's not shall I give you, it's have I given you. Well, oh, that we might enjoy, as Abraham was told to do here. Walk through the land. It's all going to be yours. Well, think of the many blessings that are ours. Tremendous amount. Well, here we find, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Let's turn to the 90th Psalm for a minute. The 90th Psalm. The 9th verse. For all our days are past. The 10th verse. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet is their strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. The 10th verse, the 12th verse. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. In our lives, one day goes into the next. And we look at it that way so often, don't we? The days go into weeks, the weeks go into months. Here we have a little exhortation to number our days. So 21,184 days ago, my mother gave birth to me. It's my birthday today. 21,000 days, 184. Kind of tweaked my interest because I was walking down the road one day with a brother, and he spattered a number. And he asked me what that meant to me, and I said I didn't know. And he informed me that's how many days I'd been alive. I thought, well, he had that kind of mind. It was sort of interesting. 21,184 days. You know, every one of those days has been very important in my life. They're all important, every one of them. You know, there's a difference between, as we have in our chapter before us in Genesis, there's a difference between counting and numbering. There's a difference. And we read this, we read the expression counting a number of times in the Word, and we read the expression numbering a number of times in the Word. So the hairs of our head, are they counted? No. They're numbered. They're numbered. The Lord puts very specific importance. You know, you would you'd maybe count the chairs in this room, but you wouldn't count the people. You would number the people, because there's a far greater importance in the people than there are the chairs. Well, you know, when the Lord was speaking to Abram here in our chapter, in the 16th verse of the 13th chapter, he says, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, so shall thy seed be numbered. Arise and walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. You know, I've just appreciated Abram contemplating this little discussion that he had with the Lord. And we read the 18th verse in contrast to the 12th verse. So in the 18th verse it says, and Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. On the 12th verse we also read of a tent. And we read of Lot and how he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And we could follow on through Lot's life and see what he did with that tent and how it got him closer and closer to Sodom. But with Abram, what's interesting about the end of this chapter that we read about a tent and we read about an altar. You know, he didn't build his dwelling place, but he did build his altar. And it would seem that the thought there would be the tent was a transient thing. He picked it up and he could take it wherever he went. But when it came to the altar, that was not a transient thing. You know, sometimes in our life, it's the opposite. Our dwelling place is firm and that's where it is, whereas our altar, it can come and go. You know, it shouldn't be that way, as we find here with Abram's life. He built an altar, and he didn't take that wherever he went. It was built. He may have moved on and built another one, but that one was built. There it was. Well, do we have that in our life? On a daily basis, that which is of utmost importance. The tent could come and go, and we know that Abraham could have had more than a tent. Having 318 servants, he could have had much more than he did. You know, the archaeologists have excavated Ur of the Chaldees, and those many years ago, when even after the pyramids were built, and I believe that when Abraham went down into Egypt, he saw at least two of those. It's kind of astounding to me to think of 2300 B.C. Well, Ur of the Chaldees, the excavations show that they had running water. Running water. Yes, from a cistern above, but there it was. Abraham could have had more, but no, he was content with his tent. He was content to have that which was transient, but not his altar. Not his altar. That was not transient. I'm afraid it's the reverse sometimes in my life. Well, may we be like Abraham here, who was told to lift his eyes, and given these exhortations, and we find the result is, Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, would speak of communion, and he built there an altar unto the Lord. Well, let's look at the second one. We have to turn over a chapter or turn over a page, and we find it in the 15th chapter. The 15th chapter, it's in the 5th verse. To get the context, in the previous chapter, Lot was taken captive. There's a battle between the kings. What is it? Three kings with five? Get the numbers. And Lot's taken captive. And Abraham finds out that Lot's been taken. And so he takes his servants, 318. You know, in one respect, we think of, wow, 318 servants. And we say, wow, that's quite a few. How come our minds look at Gideon's army as 300 and say, wow, what's such a small army? They're both the same size. And I think that when Abram went out with his 318 servants, we read that he did it in the night. He was victorious. He brought Lot back. He was probably thinking about, these enemies that I've just beaten, they're going to find out that it was me. And that all I had was my handful of servants. And I don't exactly live in a walled city. I live in a tent. He's probably thinking, maybe I shouldn't have acted a bit rashly. Maybe I should have thought of what I did. And just while he's having these thoughts, we have the 15th chapter. And the Lord comes to him and says this. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh, what a comfort that would have been to Abram. Perhaps thinking about what he'd done rashly and to realize, oh, just think of the one that I have for a shield. Just think of the one that's going to be a protection for me. And so he goes on, and we come to this verse now that's before us, which takes up our subject in the 5th verse. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it counted to him for righteousness. You know, I was thinking of the end of the meeting this morning. Rufus, he gave out that hymn, 23, how good is the God we adore? You know, we come to the end of that hymn, and it's so precious to read those, to sing those words that we sing so often in 23. We'll praise Him for all that is past. We have an easy time with that, don't we? We don't have quite as easy a time with the next line. We'll praise Him for all that is past and trust Him for all that's to come. It seems that every time there's a little hiccup in our pathway, it's something that the Lord's not going to be able to look after. Yeah, He's able to look after everything else in our past life, but this one particular thing that's before us, there's going to be a struggle there. I was just thankful for the hymn. We'll praise Him for all that is past and trust Him for all that's to come. Well, here, Abram in his life, he'd just seen a deliverance from the Lord. Perhaps he was just wondering about the future, just as to what it was going to transpire. Obviously, he didn't have any children, and the Lord already told him that his seed was going to be a tremendous number. Well, we have it again here. Look now towards heaven. There's our subject. Tell the stars, if thou be able to number them, and he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And now we have this scripture that's quoted. We have it later on in the Old Testament. We have it in the New Testament. And he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I, the Lord, that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land and to inherit it. And he said, O Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Let's turn to the book of Proverbs just for a moment. Proverbs, the 16th chapter. There's a brother in our assembly, Earl Coveley. He brings this verse before us quite often. And I'm thankful for it. Proverbs chapter 16. And the 9th verse. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. We had that a little bit this morning, didn't we, in our reading, in connection with the Lord's ways with us. And, you know, there are those who are younger here this afternoon, and sometimes we come to a crossroads in our life, and we're just not sure what to do. That happens to those of us who are older, too. And so the question is sometimes asked, you know, how can we know exactly what the mind of the Lord is in this situation that comes across my pathway? You know, and often we don't know. Yes, we can get from the Word here that which is instruction for our pathway. But sometimes there are things, and we're just not sure. And it's not like we have a will in the matter. It's like we're at a crossroads, and we can go this way or we can go this way. And we're happy to do whatever the Lord has for us. We're just not sure what it is that the Lord would have us to do. It's been helpful for me, and somebody passed this on, that if I in my life am doing what I know to be the will of God from His Word, then it's going to be easier for me, to know what His will is when I'm not sure. And that's often a difficulty in my life. I come to a point that I'm not sure what to do, and the reason I'm perhaps not sure is because there are other things in my life that I know what I should be doing, but I'm not doing them. That's a solemn thing to my own heart. That's often a difficulty in me realizing what the pathway is for me, that the Lord would have for me. And if I would simply act on what I know to be true, every place I know in the Word of God, then it would be a lot simpler when things have come across my pathway and I'm not sure what His mind is. Well, might we realize this in connection with Abraham, who it says here, and he believed in the Lord. and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Well, let's turn over now another chapter, the 18th chapter. The 18th chapter, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes, now here's our subject again, he lift up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. And he bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your heart. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, Do as thou hast said. And Abram hastened unto the tent, unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, and knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it, and he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. I was thinking of this portion a little bit. We were speaking in the reading meetings, both of them, where it says here, he lift up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. You know, I covet this posture. We were speaking about difficulty with our brother that sometimes raises its ugly head. You know, if I had this posture of bowing myself before the Lord, it would eliminate so many difficulties that come across our pathway. It would eliminate difficulties that come across my personal pathway. It would eliminate difficulties that brethren have with each other. I just covet this. You know, we see it. To look up that expression, and he bowed himself, it's a number of times in the Word. We won't look at them. Right at the end of Samson's life, when it says he was blind, and the lad led him to the pillars, puts out his arms to those pillars, and it says, and he bowed himself. The greatest victory in Samson's life was when he bowed himself. Well, here, Abram, he bowed himself when he saw the Lord. You know, there's two things in this chapter. The first time they're mentioned in the Word. The first one is foot washing. We never read of foot washing before. And this is the first time we read of running in the Word. You don't generally run in the heat of the day. But here, when he saw the Lord, a glimpse of the Lord, it caused him to run. In the third verse, he says, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Well, just a little thought as to the fourth verse. He says, Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. I don't know of a better way of being refreshed than to provide refreshment. Ever thought of that? In seeking to encourage a soul, and you see that they're encouraged, and you're refreshed too by seeking to refresh them. Well, here the thought of the foot washing is refreshment. He says, let a little water be fetched. Well, may we be found doing so in our lives, seeking to be a refreshment to those that we come in contact with, seeking to be a refreshment, to provide a little refreshment to those that we visit with. It's got the effect always of being refreshed ourselves. May that touch our hearts. Well, let's go on now to the next one, which is in the... the 19th chapter. And let's go to the 22nd chapter. 22nd chapter. The 22nd chapter is the trial that comes across Abram's pathway. And in the beginning of the chapter, it says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and he said unto Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Well, let's go on to, we know what transpires, and Abraham reaches for the knife, and there's that call from the Lord, from the angel of the Lord in the 11th verse. Well, in the 13th verse, we read, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." I was thinking of this portion. I was visiting with Daryl earlier, and he made mention of a comment that I made in a letter that I sent to him. And I'd just like to share it. This afternoon, I'd forgotten about it. But we had read to us in this morning in 1 Corinthians, I forget who read it. "There is no temptation taken you, but just as common to man." 10:13, thank you. 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." You know, sometimes we find ourselves in difficulties and it just seems like there's no escape. None whatsoever. There is always a way of escape. There is always a way of escape. There is always a way out. When my boys were little, they used to do something that just intrigued Cindy and I. They had a bird feeder, and they'd reach up. They're just little guys, and they'd reach up and they'd take the bird feeder off the clothesline where we had it hung, and they'd put it on the ground and they'd go and hide. And pretty soon the chipmunks would come and start taking stuff out of the bird feeder. Well, they'd have to go right inside to get whatever they needed to come out again. And they'd watch, and when a chipmunk would go in, they'd take a green garbage pail and they'd run over and they'd put it down on top of the bird feeder. And then they'd go and get a piece of plywood and they'd slip it underneath the garbage can, and they'd take the whole thing and put it right side up, and so the chipmunk was in the garbage can. They'd take the bird feeder out and they'd be jumping up high and, "Daddy, Daddy, come and see what I've caught, come and see what I've caught." And I go out there and sure enough, there's a chipmunk in the garbage can, and it'd be jumping halfway up, not able to get out. And they were just delighted. But what they really delighted in is taking a stick and putting it in the garbage can, and the chipmunk would find the stick and it would race up the stick and it would escape. You know, in every one of our difficulties, the Lord has a stick and he puts it in the garbage can. Every one of them. Every one of our difficulties. And we find that from 1 Corinthians, don't we? Well, we know in this particular portion, there was an escape for Abraham. The picture is, of course, the Lord Jesus, and there was no escape. There was no ram caught in the thicket, none whatsoever. But for Abraham, there was an escape. And there's always an escape for us. Every time. I look again, Rufus, just looking at that the last two lines of that hymn. Being able to trust him for what's to come, because as we look in the past, every time the Lord has made a provision for us, made an escape for us, every single time, without fail. What a comfort that is to us, isn't it? Well, let's go now. We're going to have to go to the New Testament to look at the last, you know, we missed one there in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis 19, where we have one more there. Genesis chapter 19. And we pick up in the 27th verse. "And Abraham got up early in the morning," Genesis 19:27. "Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he stood and looked, there's our subject, he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the plain of the land, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Let's go earlier in the chapter now. And actually, let's go to the 18th chapter. And this is subsequent to that time that we read of earlier in the beginning of the 18th chapter, where the Lord, Abram spends that time with the Lord and the angels. And we read in the 16th verse, the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abram went to bring them on their way, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. Beginning of the 23rd verse. And Abraham drew near. Well, I was just thinking of that. Abraham drawing near and having this discourse with the Lord. And not knowing what was to transpire. You know, it's interesting when you think of this discourse that Abraham, he knew quite a bit about Sodom. He knew more than the people of Sodom. He didn't get it by reading the Sodom Tribune. He didn't get it by having the Sodom Gazette delivered to his tent. No, he had it by his communication with the Lord. And we find here, it says in our 19th chapter, it says in the 27th verse, he stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. I just thought of him contemplating there his discourse with the Lord. Well, that's something that we do too, don't we, at different times in our life. Sometimes the Lord brings circumstances across our pathway, and he has us just to contemplate. I did that, you know, just last week. It was a week ago tomorrow with Mother's Day. There's a bunch of mothers here. And I went to the little graveyard where my folks are buried, and I stood in that grave, and I was just thankful for... I stood there and thanked the Lord for the mother that the Lord brought into my life and had... and how she brought the Lord before me. You know, there's something about a mother's heart. As I say, there's a number of them here. When Cindy and I were down in Florida this year, there was something that transpired that really touched my heart. And that was right in the city, just below where we are. We're in Pompano Beach, which is right where John and Eleanor Stewart are. Just a little bit below that, Fort Lauderdale, a mother duck was going across the road, busy road, with six little ducklings. And the wind was... there was a wind because of a truck that went by that blew the little six ducklings into a storm sewer. And the mother was frantic, and thought there was a lot of water. There was a little bit of water there, and the storm sewer took off. And the peeping, I guess there was a person that was observing this. The peeping got fainter and fainter and fainter, and finally the mother duck took off down the road to the next storm sewer, where the peeping got louder and louder and louder. And sure enough, the six ducklings went by, and she went on to the next storm sewer. Well, the person that was relaying it relayed how the mother duck went for just about 2 kilometers from storm sewer to storm sewer to storm sewer until they came to one that had a bottom discharge. And it was like a dead end for the ducklings. And they called the fire department, they got the six little ducklings out, and they were happy to be with their home again. But I just thought, you know, that's the concept of a mother's heart that we see in a duck, that those of us who are brothers here, we don't have quite the same thing. There are those mothers here that can understand that concept. You know, it's touching to contemplate. And I just stood at my mother's grave and just contemplating the many times that she wiped my runny nose and the many other major things that I caused her so much trouble, and to thank the Lord for. Well, we have different times in our life, don't we, where the Lord brings something into our life and we just contemplate. Here Abram did that. He stood before the Lord and he looked towards Sodom. Well, let's go now to the, we have 10 minutes left. Let's go to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, the 8th chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 8. And we'll pick up on the 56th verse as the Lord is speaking with the Jews. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. It doesn't exactly say look there, but we can pick up on the subject. He rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And when the Jews said unto them, then said the Jews unto them, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? You know, he didn't say that he'd seen Abraham. He said Abraham saw him. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to cast at Jesus. Well, I just thought there of that 56th verse, the joy that it was for Abraham to look forward to that time when the Lord Jesus would come. And he didn't exactly go through it in that way. But you know, I thought, probably our greatest testimony in this world to our brethren, to those who are lost, it's our joy in the Lord. It's our joy. Abraham rejoiced. It's pretty hard to fight against someone that's enjoying the Lord. It's pretty hard to think negatively of someone that's just really enjoying the Lord. You know, that's our biggest testimony. It's our joy in the Lord. Something else that happened when we were in Florida, Cindy and I were down there, and I went and did a few groceries for her. And on my way back, I was following a car, and it had on the bumper two words, and it was the blood. I thought, I wonder what this means. And we were in traffic, you know, and so I kind of worked our way down a couple of blocks until finally I got beside this lady. And without a smile, but with a twinkle in my eyes, I just kind of picked up my Bible like this, and I went like this. And her face just lit right up, and she reached out and picked up hers and with a big smile. And that's the only communication that I ever had with her, or she had with me. She was gone. You know, it just rejoiced my heart. It rejoiced her heart. That's all the communication we had. You know, isn't it marvelous that we can have a communication with each other that just brightens each other? It's just that which, because we're enjoying the Lord, we can be such an encouragement. Well, we find that here with one of Abraham's looks. Well, the last one, of course, is in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, and we'll read from verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have received after for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You know, if you do the math, Jacob lived in the same tent as his father Abraham for 15 years. Jacob was 15 when Abraham passed away. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, it just seems that if Jacob could only have tapped in a little bit on some of the exercise that his grandpa had, it would have saved them a lot of difficulty. Well, we go on now. Here's our subject in 10 verse. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, as we've had before us in these meetings, Abram's life was such that he had his gaze lifted above the sea. He looked for something that was real. I enjoyed that we had brought before us in connection with truth, this afternoon. No, Abraham, he looked for that which was real. He knew that what was down here was not real. And it's hard for us to get a hold of that concept, but Abraham, he did that. Well, may these few thoughts on the seven looks of Abraham be an encouragement to our own hearts and to quicken our steps to that moment, perhaps today, that we'll hear that shout and be called home to be with the Lord Jesus. Well, let's sing another hymn that has Abram's name in it. It would be number 45. Number 45. In verse 3, thus Abraham, the friend of God, thus all the saints redeemed with blood, Savior of sinners, thee proclaim, and all their boast is in thy name. Maybe somebody could start number 45 for us.
Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness, our duty.
Thank you.